say any more. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, God. And we ask, God, that you would speak to us today, dear God, from your word, to be a help, Lord, to each and every individual that's here this morning. We ask for your anointing and your blessing. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Just to remind you, we put a basket back there for anyone to put in any offering they would like to go toward helping Brother Rowell with the hospital expenses and that. So everything that goes in that basket, well, we'll have sent over there to him. And it's a way for you to be a blessing to someone else. God will bless you for it. Amen. And just reminds me of the message I preached on. I just want to be a blessing and being a blessing to others that are in need. And you know what? It just the Lord will smile down upon that. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5. I've got an update to give you, but I was going to wait till after I preach to give you an update on Brother Roel. And it'll go along with what I'm preaching. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is the prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of a righteous man. It says the effectual fervent prayer. And the word effectual means success in producing a desired or intended result. Fervent, displaying a passion and intensity. Of course, we know availeth much means that it's something it's powerful. That's what the availeth much means in the Greek. Powerful, extraordinary deeds, wielding power, to have strength to overcome, to be a force, to be a force. Prayer, effectual fervent prayer yields force. It has power behind it. When you pray earnestly, it means with sincere, intense conviction. Now, when we think of the prayer of a righteous man, many times the devil would want to point out to you, well, do you think you're righteous? And we know that we're not righteous in ourselves, but we're righteous through Jesus Christ. But the Bible, even though it says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, it goes on to say that Elijah was a man that had like passions such as we do. He was a man like us. Brother Branham said, in Get the People to Believe, he said, Elijah was not an angel. He was a man. He had his ups and downs and his troubles like we do. He had his passions. The Bible said he was a man subject to like passions as we are. So he was just as apt to make a mistake as you or I am. He was just as apt to do something wrong as you as I am. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Think of that. God listened to a mortal's prayer. And I say this with all true reverence. There's not another force on earth. There's nothing on the earth, no matter what it is, what kind of gifts it is. There's nothing on the earth in the world that will come ahead of prayer. Prayer is what does the work. Now, he prayed that it would rain not. And God stopped up the heavens for 3.5 years. Can you imagine such a drought? 3.5 years with no rain? Why, everything would have just dried up and become desert-like. And then the Bible goes on to say that after the showdown on Mount Carmel, that Elijah went and he prayed that God would let it rain. And he sent his servant up, said, go up and look and see if you see any signs. And his servant went up and looked and come back and said, sky's like brass. I don't see a sign in the sky. And Elijah prayed again, told his servant, said, go on back up there and look again. He went back up there and looked again, come down and said, nope, there's no sign of rain. And Elijah prayed again. And he did this, and, you know, the servant said, well, I just come down from there and didn't see any signs. Why are you sending me back up there? I was just up there 2-5 minutes ago. But Elijah said, go back and look again. And he went up there 7 times. 6 times, no signs. The 7th time he went up there, he come back and he said, I see a little bitty cloud about the size of a man's hand. Now, with some people, the unbelief would have kicked in about that time and said, well, I guess it ain't going to happen. I guess I'm not going to get what I asked for. But Elijah, when he said there's just a cloud about the size of a man's hand, that's all the sign he needed. He didn't need to see big storm clouds covered from skyline to skyline across the horizon. Saw one cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, go tell Ahab to prepare because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Not just the sound of a little bit of rain, but abundance of rain. And all this happened because one man prayed. A man that was like you and I. A man that made mistakes like you and I. This is the same one that got so depressed, went down there and thought God should just kill him. He just gave up, ran from a woman, afraid. It's a man like you and I, but God heard his prayer. God will hear your prayer. Whatever your prayer is, whatever needs you have, God will hear your prayer. God is interested in what his people, his children want. He's interested in what your heart desires. Pray for your children to be saved. Don't give up. Don't matter what it looks like. No matter what they're doing now, don't give up. You're praying for your loved one to be saved. You're praying for your wife to be saved. Praying for your husband to be saved. Don't give up. Don't matter what it looks like. Don't matter if you only see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. God's going to answer the prayer. For the prayer of a righteous Christian availeth much. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. You believe that? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38. And in those days, Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. And imagine the man of God. God has spoke to him, told him, thus saith the Lord. He comes down and says, thus saith the Lord, Hezekiah is going to die. Set your house in order, you're going to die. Then he has to go back up there and tell him, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to die. Prayer changed it. He turned his face to the wall and wept before the Lord. And prayer changed it. The Ram says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You think about that. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. You think about how powerful that is. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's how powerful prayer is. Amen. You're sick. And you call for him to come pray for you. And they come pray for you that the Lord will heal you and make you well. And he not only heals you and makes you well, but if you've committed any sins that has brought that sickness on you, those sins will be forgiven you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh my, if you only knew that in your hand Christ gave you the authority with his name by being Christians, the most powerful weapon the world has ever known. Prayer, it changes everything. It'll change the mind of God. It did do it. After death was pronounced on Hezekiah, he prayed, and God told the prophet, go back and tell him that his prayer has been heard. Listen to this. Brother Branham says, many times when he's praying over a patient, it'll turn dark. He said, and I know death's laying there. And I just say, the Lord bless you, or I'll pray that God will heal you, and then send him on off the platform. For I don't know what it will be, because sometimes God could pronounce death on a person and then their prayer could change the thing. Do you believe it? It did for Hezekiah, didn't it? God told the prophet, go tell him you're going to die, not to come off the bed. And he turned his face to the wall, wept bitterly. God spared his life 15 years after death had been pronounced by God. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that's ever been put in the hand of mankind. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It says again in Resurrection Jairus' daughter, prayer, the most powerful weapon that's ever been put in anybody's hand. What said, pardon me, he's going to live. Thus said the Lord, he's going to live. What done it? Prayer changes things. Is that right? Prayer is the most powerful weapon that's ever been put into control of human beings. There's no atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. Prayer will change the mind of God. It did with Hezekiah. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly and said, Lord, I beseech you to consider me. I walk before you with a perfect heart. I need 15 years longer to get my kingdom in condition. You know, it looks like God would have just said, would have wanted to say anything. He'd have just told Hezekiah right then. But God's got ways of doing things. You have to come God's way. God's means of doing things. As long as you try to get it in it ourselves, then it won't work. See what he's saying? Hezekiah prayed and said, God, give me more time. He said, you think if God wanted to say anything, he'd just turned right around and said, spoke it straight to Hezekiah and said, I grant you a prayer. I'll give you 15 more years. But he says, God's got a way of doing it. What did he do? He went back and spoke to his prophet Isaiah and told Isaiah, you go back up there and tell him that I've heard his prayer, that I'm giving him 15 more years. God's got ways of doing things. God's got offices that he works through. And God doesn't change those things. He's got the fivefold ministry that he works through. And he speaks through the fivefold ministry. And God ain't changed that. I believe in listening to the message of Brother Branham. But I also believe in preaching. I believe that God still calls preachers. And I believe he calls them to preach the message that's been sent. Amen. You know, people that don't believe in preachers, they'll say, well, we believe in preachers. People say we don't believe in fivefold ministry. We do believe in fivefold ministry. But they believe in the fivefold ministry just push and play, not preaching. They're afraid somebody's going to get something wrong. Well, there's been many that's got things wrong. There's been many doctrines that have creeped up around this message. But listen to this. Listening to tapes alone never stopped doctrines from creeping up. There's people just listening to tapes alone that believe some of the wildest things you'd ever want to imagine. So just listening to tapes ain't going to stop false doctrine. But I believe that God, on a truly, true called man of God, anointed by the Lord to preach this end time message. What do you think Brother Branham meant? You know, back then, of course, those men that he was talking to at the time, when he said, God's raising up these young men. And he pointed to these young preachers that was there with him. Well, they're old now. They're passing it on to even younger men. He said, God raise up these young preachers to preach this message. Brother Branham never pointed at himself as being the only proprietor. He never pointed himself as being, I'm the it. But he never took away from the fivefold ministry. And I believe God uses the fivefold ministry today not to bring something new, but to bring an understanding of what we've already got. Abraham says, prayer. That's the secret. Prayer opens the door. Remember the Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened to you. It's talking about praying. Seek, ask, knock. It's talking about praying. Doing this in prayer. Prayer opens the door. Whatsoever you ask in prayer with faith believing, you shall receive it. So what's the Bible say? Ask abundantly. Hallelujah. I don't want to ask too much of God. You can't ask too much of God. I'll just ask a little bit, you know. I don't want to be greedy. You can't ask too much of God. God cares about you. You know, of course, maybe... Because I grew up for 13 years of my life as an only child. You know, we weren't rich. We was poor. Maybe not as poor as my daddy was growing up. But we didn't have much and took both mom and dad both working just to try to make it. And, but if they knew I wanted something, they tried their best to get it. Nothing I asked for was too much. Of course, I wasn't a greedy child neither. But, you know, I remember dad would get some ice cream, and he didn't say, well, you only get one scoop. If we ate all the ice cream in one sitting, that was fine. You know, he maybe it wasn't good, but it was. But there's not too much. You can't ask too much of God. God cares about you. You're his child. He loves you. He cares about your needs. He cares. Friends, listen. God cares about your wants. A lot of times people say and preach, God don't care about your wants. That ain't true. The Bible says, whatsoever you desire, when you ask in prayer, God will grant it to you. Whatsoever your heart desires. Of course, we know the Bible says you got to pray according to the will of God. God knows what's best for you. Sometimes we might ask God for something that ain't going to be no good for us. When we pray, we should say, now, Lord, if this ain't going to be no good for me, then I don't want it. If somehow this is going to hinder my walk with me, with you, or somehow take me away from you, or get me to kind of grow cold toward you, then I don't want nothing to do with it. But God will grant you things that is things that you want, things that, you know, we talk so much, you hear about, you know, Laodicea and soft living and all this. Look, I believe God gave us air conditioners so we can sit in here in comfort. So we can sit in here in comfort and hear the word of God. I can remember a time when, you know, churches didn't have air conditionings. They had to open the windows, and women would sit there fans up. You can see on the video of Brother Branham preaching that message, you know, deep calls to the deep. And they go out over the audience, you see different ones fan themselves. It was hot. Well, I thank God for the modern conveniences we have that's come along that's made it a lot more tolerable sitting and listening. Maybe sometimes, though, people say, well, maybe we'd be better off if we didn't have it. Well, I'm thankful for it. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that's ever been put in the care of human beings. Amen. More powerful than an atomic bomb. Prayer spared Hezekiah. So if prayer is that powerful, then what can it do? We don't realize how great it is. You know, in the Bible, there was a woman that speaks about in the Old Testament that didn't have a child. And her husband's other wife, while she had children. But this woman by the name of Hannah, she was barren. She didn't have any children. The Bible says she went to the temple to pray. And she prayed and wept sore before the Lord. But the Bible said that she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So it don't matter how loud you pray or how soft you pray. That ain't got a thing to do with it. It doesn't matter if you pray your prayer silently in your heart. It don't matter if you pray your prayer in a whisper to yourself where only yourself can hear it. That ain't what works prayer. What works prayer is an effectual, fervent prayer. Amen? An effectual, fervent prayer, a prayer that where you really believe in what you're asking for. A prayer when you come, you're really serious about it. You're really sincere about it. And you believe that God's going to give you what you're asking for. So she prayed in her heart. You can pray in your heart and God's going to hear it. God hear it and God, listen friends, the thoughts of your heart is louder in heaven than your words are. A lot of people speak a lot of things with their mouth, but their heart is a million miles from what their mouth is saying. So you can pray in your heart and God can hear you. You can pray going down the road. Say, well, I can't shut my eyes going down the road. It don't matter. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're washing dishes. You can pray while you're mowing the lawn. You can pray. It don't matter what's going on. You can pray. Hallelujah. And you don't got to scream and shout. You know, remember Elijah when he was up there and those prophets of Baal was praying that their God, Baal, would come and set their sacrifice on fire. And he said, maybe he can't hear you. And they screamed louder. Said, maybe he's gone on a trip. He's gone on vacation and he can't hear you. And they screamed louder. You don't got to scream for God to hear you. God knows the desires of your heart. And all you got to do is ask him. I've been in the presence of people and just prayed within my heart while I was there. It's not that I'm ashamed. It's that it was seemed appropriate at that time. I've been in counsel with people. And people sitting there telling me something about going on their life. And I'm sitting there and I don't have the answer. And while they're telling me, I'm praying to within my heart, God, you're going to have to come on the scene and give them the answer because I don't got the answer. You're the one that's got the answer. And God come on the scene. And when it come my time to open my mouth, God put the words in my mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometime when you're around your loved ones, just go up and lay your hand on them and pray in your heart. They won't even know what's going on. They won't even know what hit them. Hallelujah. God hears prayer. Hallelujah. And she spake in her heart. And Eli saw her and thought she was drunk. And he come down and said, how long will you drink? And she said, I'm not drunk. She says, but I have come to pray and I have poured my soul out before the Lord. And he said, go your way, and may the God of Israel grant you the petition that you asked. Brother Branham said, she got up and went home. You remember, she wasn't eating. Her husband was worried about her because she wasn't eating. And he asked her, would she not eat? And he said, am I not better for you than 10 sons? No, she wanted a son. People tell me, oh, well, you can't ask God to, ain't how it works, getting a boy or a girl. That's not how it works. It did in the Bible. Zechariah prayed and asked God for a son. Elizabeth. Zechariah prayed to ask God for a son. God heard their prayer. And you know, after God heard their prayer and come down and told Zechariah, I heard your prayer, Zechariah didn't believe him. because Elizabeth was past the time of bearing children. And he didn't believe him. Didn't even believe, after he'd been praying, didn't even believe what he'd been praying about. But God done answered it. Somebody must have had some faith. We didn't even want to believe the angel, and the angel said, because you didn't believe, you won't be able to speak until the child's born. And so from that time on, 9 months on down the road, he couldn't speak until the child was born. And they said, what are we going to name him? And then all of a sudden his voice came back and he says, his name will be John. Hallelujah. I've seen God do it. Say, oh, God only did that in the Bible. I've seen God do it. I've seen God do it right here. I've seen people come up here and get prayed for and ask for children, and God give them children. I've seen people, sisters pray, God give them a son or a daughter, and God answer their prayer. I've seen God change the minds of husbands. Husbands said they didn't want no children. The wife wanted a child, and God changed the mind of the husband. And the Bible said that she went home. She didn't worry no more about it. He said, may the God of Israel grant the petition you asked for. She just believed it and left and went on home. And the Bible said she went back to eating. She started eating again. In other words, she didn't worry about it or try to figure out how is this going to happen. It ain't happened up to now. I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I need to go to a fertility clinic. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying, Hannah just went home and believed. Me and my wife, we were married 2 years. Hadn't had any children, married a little over 2 years, hadn't had any children. And we were thinking about going to fertility clinic, find out what if there was a problem or whatever. And then I said, why don't we just go get prayed for? And so we went up and had the pastor pray for us. And after we'd been married 3 years, we had a child. And we named her Jessica because it means gift of God. And God didn't stop. We had three more after that. And you know, Brother Branham talks about Billy Paul and his wife not being able to have children. And they got prayed for. And remember Brother Branham kind of lightly saying something about it later because they kept having children. He says, I think I'm going to have to pray that blessing off of them. But Hannah, she wanted to talk to God, and she prayed with a deep sincerity. And she believed God. She went on home, didn't worry no more about it, just took God at his word. Brother Bam said, that's the way we need people to be today. That's what kind of people we need, just to take God at his word. She just believed in due time, God's going to answer this prayer. When? I don't know, but he's going to answer it. How long is it going to take? I don't know, but he's going to answer it. I've prayed and I've asked God. You know what? When this is something we kind of overlook sometimes when we go about the story of Moses going down to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. We kind of overlook some of the things, you know, that went on there. But Moses went down. And remember, Pharaoh told him, you, the men can go up there and worship and come back. He said, nope, we want to all go. So Pharaoh said, well, leave the children here. And y'all go on up there and go worship, and you leave the children here and you come back. And he said, we're not going to leave hoof behind. He said, we're taking the kids with us. Friends, look, the devil tell you you're going to have to leave your kids behind. Amen, but you can pray. You say, well, what if they're not seed? Well, there's nothing you can do about that, but you don't know where they are or not. So what you got to do is just pray and believe that God will do something. God will come on the scene. God will make a change. I'll tell you this, friends. You could sit down and talk to them until you're blue in the face and wouldn't be able to change them. But God can change their mind. Yes, sir. God can turn them around. He might have to bring them down to where they ain't got nothing. He might have to bring them down to where he knocks them in the dirt. He might have to bring them down to death's door. But God can change how their attitude is. But what you've got to be is willing to let God do whatever it takes. That's the thing. A lot of people want their loved ones to come in, but they don't want God to do whatever it takes. I'll tell you what, friends, having them in this life ain't nothing, because this life is short. But having them in life that is to come eternal, amen, that's where you want them at. So if God's got to bring them down to death's door and then take their life, then let God do it, but God save their soul. Hallelujah. Brother Branham was in this end of this meeting, the Have Faith in God, 1958. I believe it was in Maryland or Massachusetts, maybe. I'm not familiar with this. Sometimes the abbreviations, but anyway, may have been, I don't know where it was. But anyway, he was at the end of the message, at the end of the meeting, and he was calling out people and telling them what was wrong with them. And there was a woman that came up on the platform, and after Brother Ram had called out a few people, he turned to her and said, he said, "You're here for a good purpose." He said, "You're asking God to do something out of the ordinary." He said, "But I've seen the Lord do it even at your age." So he don't say how old she was, but he says, "Even at your age." And he said, "You want to be a mother. Well, you're a mother," he said, "of stepchildren, but you want one of your own." He said, "And you were praying about that before you left your house. And that's your desire. That's what's on your mind." And he said, "Now, I see your husband. He's an Italian, isn't he? He's in trouble. He needs healing on his leg and on his knees and in his arm." He said, "Is that right?" She said, "Yes." He said, "All right, go and believe it now and you can have what you asked for." Hallelujah. So it wasn't just something that happened back in biblical times. God still answers prayer today. Matthew 21:22, it says, "In all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Ask. In John 16:24, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be fulfilled." Your joy might be full. Therefore, Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe, you receive them and ye shall have them." Whatsoever ye desire. First Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Prayer, powerful weapon, changes things. Prayer moves God. And you know, Brother Branham spoke about the land of prayer. He said, when you pray, there's a dimension there your prayers come up through. And according to the type in the Old Testament, they had these incense out there, incense to offer up an odor, a fragrance, to go up with the prayers of the saints. And it tells us in the book of Revelations that there are angels that offer this up in this air, this dimension Brother Branham called the land of prayer, that they offer this up, that when your prayers come up before God, they're good. Hallelujah. Pray. Brother Branham says in 1950, let's bow our heads again, if you will, friends. You may laugh too much. You may talk too much. You may walk too much, but you'll never pray too much. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Hallelujah. He says again in 56, we're just looking forward to a great time in the Lord. With your prayers, I'm sure we'll do the best we can for the glory of God. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes death to life. Prayer changes sickness to health. Prayer changes sinners to saints. It's prayer. You might laugh too much. You might shout too much. You might eat too much, but you'll never pray too much. The Bible said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, so you'll never be able to pray too much. It says again in 57, said, we're thankful that you're out this afternoon. We feel somehow we just can't get enough of God. There's something about the gospel, the word of God, that we simply can't seem to get enough of it. You might eat too much sometimes. You might drink enough cold water to make you sick. But I don't believe that a man can ever pray too much or get too much of the love of God in his heart. Oh, amen. Can't get too much of the love of God. We need more of the love of God, don't we? Hallelujah. That's just one thing that doesn't seem to ever get enough. I'm taught that when we eat, if we used to eating small portions, our stomach shrinks to that portion. And if we eat much, our stomach stretches to that portion. And I think we need to do some spiritual stretching and get much of the word. Can't be satisfied with just reading a little verse once in a while or something of that matter, but stretch our spiritual gastronomics. Hallelujah. He says again in 59, Lord, please, Lord, I might sing too much. I might preach too much. I might shout too much, or I might cry too much, but I'll never pray too much. God, search me. He says again in 1963, you might eat too much, you might drink too much, you might work too much, but don't you think you could pray too much? Hallelujah. You can't pray too much. You know, I don't think our problem is that we're praying too much. I think we don't pray enough. We try to work out our problems ourselves a lot of times instead of taking it before the Lord. When something comes up, instead of bellyaching over it, worrying about it, fretting about it, you know what? Worrying and fretting never solved anything. It never did. Look, friends, I used to be a real worrier till I got myself so sick. This is back when I was a teenager. And I got so sick, Mama took me to the doctor. They took, you know, pictures of my stomach and all that stuff where you have to drink down some kind of drink, and then they take some kind of pictures of your stomach and everything. And they come back and he said, you are close to having an ulcer in your stomach. And he said, what's causing you to have an ulcer is you must worry too much. He said, you're going to have to quit that worrying or you're going to end up with holes in your stomach. Well, I made up my mind right then I was going to quit that. I was going to start committing things to the Lord. And I wasn't going to worry about when it come down, you know what always used to worry me was confrontation. I hated confrontation. And it would worry me when I knew there was happened to be some kind of confrontation of something. But I got down where I thought, well, I ain't going to worry about it no more. When you got to confront something, I'll just confront it and get it done and get it over with and get on past it. Worrying don't solve nothing. Worrying over a bill, how a bill's going to get paid, don't solve it. It ain't going to get the bill paid. Worrying about how you know where your next meal's coming from ain't going to get you your next meal. The Bible said we ain't to worry about stuff like that anyhow. The Bible says that if he takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more does he think he cares about his children? God cares about his children. He takes care of us. Oh, he might let us go through to where we come down to the very end of something before he comes on the scene. But he'll show up. It might seem too late for you, but it ain't. God's always on time. They might have thought it was too late when he showed up for Lazarus, but he was right on time because he wanted them to see the glory of God. He didn't want to pray for, he'd already prayed for people and them being healed and saved from death. What he was going to do was God was going to raise up somebody from dead. Hallelujah. I believe we can speak and God will hear us. Hallelujah. I believe we can speak the word. I believe we can just, we can say what we have need of and God will take care of it. Hallelujah. I know we've been praying about Brother Roel. And, you know, Brother Roel has heart problems. He's got kidney problems. He's got high blood pressure. He's got diabetes. And all these things. And then he got struck with COVID. And from everything they tell me and from different things that I've seen people that's had it, if they've got some of these other illnesses, a lot of times it's fatal. Because it attacks these other things in such a way. I'm going to tell you something. This whole thing out there about this being a conspiracy, I don't know how people must have to have their head examined. Because people ain't dying because of a conspiracy. But COVID attacks of somebody, they got all these other problems, health problems, it looks pretty bleak then for them. Because they already got heart trouble. They already got all these marks against them. And then it seems like COVID is always accompanied by pneumonia because it attacks the respiratory system. And so Brother Roel has all these things, and then he got pneumonia. And for a while, he was just laying in the emergency room and just out in hallway and so forth where they couldn't get him a room, couldn't get him in because it was all packed. So we were praying they would get him into a room or something, ICU, you know, and finally, they got him into ICU. And they had to put him on a ventilator. And, you know, they say that most times, I was talking with my son, who's a nurse out in Utah, and he's worked in the COVID unit. And he said most times when they go on a ventilator, they don't come back off of it. Brother Orwell, they put him on a ventilator, and he was at 100% need of that ventilator. But people everywhere went to praying. The bride of Christ around the world, everywhere our friends went to praying. And they've brought that down from 100% to 40%. And I've got an update to read you that I just got yesterday. Update from Sister Cynthia Soriano. The test results indicates that he is COVID-free now. Hallelujah. But he's still got pneumonia. But he's COVID-free now. Hallelujah. His ventilator requirements continues at 40%. But at the moment, he has a 98 saturation level. He's still on dialysis for the moment. After each dialysis, a reduction in the ventilator requirement will be attempted. He's withstood 3-hour dialysis today, and his blood pressure was not affected. He no longer has a fever. He's no longer on antibiotics, but he still has a slight pneumonia. His sugar's a bit high due to the steroids, but it's manageable. He's partially sedated now, but is responsive when his name is called. We're waiting for a vacancy in a non-COVID ICU so that he can be transferred there. Hallelujah. Please pray and let us unite as the bride of Christ and ask the Lord that Brother Earl will be weaned off of the ventilator as soon as possible. And that after the dialysis, his kidneys will function on their own. I believe God can do that. You know, they say that once a person has to go on dialysis and have dialysis, they have to have that for the rest of their life. But I believe God can touch him. I've been praying, you know why? Because I don't believe God's done with him yet. I don't believe God's done with his ministry yet. I've been there and witnessed his ministry firsthand. I've been the places where he's carried the gospel to and what all he's done for God in the Philippines, spreading the gospel. Many churches set up and established. Many pastors of churches set up and established because Brother Roel went there and preached this end time message and introduced the message to these people. Many people, many, even a great bishop in an organization came out. Actually, he said he didn't have a chance to come out. They kicked him out because he went to preaching this message in the organization and they kicked him out. I don't believe God's done with him yet. So he needs a touch of the Lord. He needs the Lord to touch his kidneys and make them well again. He needs the Lord to completely wipe out this pneumonia and set him back on his feet again. Get him out of that hospital. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I ain't never been in the hospital over there or in any of them to see even what they're like. But I've been in enough of their airports and facilities and everything else to tell you that they are not the United States. Now, I don't know what their hospitals look like, but I can tell you this. You know, our hospitals here are overloaded. I just read the other day, we're up there at Vanderbilt. The children's hospital is overloaded with COVID patients, COVID children, children with COVID. There's hundreds in the hospital at Vanderbilt. And a lot of them, they said, actually not a lot of them, what they actually said was they said 99% of the ones that are in the hospital are unvaccinated. Now, I'll tell you what that means. It means they don't have a help of fighting this thing off. Now, My father-in-law, we had y'all praying for him. He caught COVID again, caught that Delta variant, that different variant that's out there. But he had been vaccinated. And it didn't hit him that hard. And he wasn't in the hospital but a day or so. And they sent him on home to get well. And he had some aches and pains and things like that, some chest pains and that, but they went away soon. And today is his last day of quarantine. He's out of quarantine tomorrow. And, but they said in Davison County, there's over 5,000 cases of COVID that happened between August the 12th and August the 25th of this year. Over 5,000 cases. That thing's real out there.
It sure is.
And anybody that thinks it ain't real, something's wrong with them. Something's wrong with them. And they, you know, they're going to find out one of these days, time tarries, they end up getting it. There was a woman that Jessica was telling us about that her friend didn't want to get the vaccine and didn't really, you know, didn't take COVID too serious. And she got COVID and died. And so this friend went to her funeral. And they were sitting there talking to different ones, and this one was saying, well, the last time I talked to her, this is what we talked about, you know. And the other one was saying, well, the last time I talked to her, this is what we said. And they looked at this friend, they said, do you remember the last time you talked to her? She said, yes, it was on the phone. She said, what was the last thing you talked about? She said, the last thing I said to her is, you're stupid, you're going to get COVID and die. Well, that was, you know, maybe not a good thing to say, but it happened. So not, it don't matter whether people believe in it or not. They still die from it.
Yeah.
COVID don't care whether you believe in it or not.
No.
You know, and I know there's a lot of churches, not message churches, but I know I've heard there's different organizations out there that are saying, well, we're covered by the blood.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to tell you this. I've known a lot of people that's covered by the blood that's died from this thing. Brother Donnie's had several people die from it. So God touching Brother Roel, I'm telling you, friends, everything looked very bleak for Brother Roel. But God has touched him. Prayer changed things for him. And I believe God's just going to raise him on up. And I believe that he's going to be back on his feet again, back preaching again, back spreading the gospel of this end time message again.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's have prayer. You pray with me. I told Sister Cynthia that we would have special prayer for Brother O.L. today, that God would see to these things, bring him off the ventilator, heal him of the pneumonia. God's already healed him of the COVID. God will heal him of the pneumonia, and God will heal his kidneys off that dialysis. Because, friends, he can't be worried about always going to dialysis and at the same time trying to spread the gospel. So he needs to touch the hand of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, dear God, and we're asking, Lord, for you to continue your work, Lord. Father, you've touched Brother Roel. You've healed him of the COVID, dear God. And Father, he's been weaning off the ventilator, but we want him to come off, Lord God, and be able to breathe on his own 100%, dear God. I pray, dear God, that his oxygen saturation levels will be where they should be, dear God. I pray, dear God, you'll bring him off that ventilator. And I pray, dear God, you'll heal his kidneys and touch him, dear God, to where he won't need dialysis. I pray you'll continue to raise him up, dear God, and set him back on his feet, preaching this gospel and being a witness, Lord, that prayer changes things, that God hears our prayer. Prayer is the most powerful weapon there is in the world, dear God. Prayer can change everything. We ask, God, that you bless your people today, dear Lord. I pray for the people here, God. You know their hearts, Lord. You know their needs. You know what they've been praying for, Lord. Lord, you laid this message on my heart, Lord, 2 weeks ago, God. Lord, to bring this to the people, must be somebody somewhere is praying for something, dear God. Lord, you know their heart's desire. You know what they're praying and asking you for. I pray you'll hear their prayer and answer it, dear God. I ask, God, you be with these people today, dear God. Watch over and protect them. Keep them safe, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you'll keep them, Lord, during this time of this terrible sickness, dear God. I pray, dear God, that your hand of protection will be on this congregation. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.